Usher. Socrates poisoned again after 25 centuries. Responses to questions from disciples and press correspondents given in Crete, Greece. Discourse number 8.
But when these questions are from me, the first question is, do you sometimes fantasize? And if so, could you give us some examples?
In their place, I am full of love, silence, listening.
But you said last night, you cannot live to be a true Buddha unless you are in a sense of Buddha. What better place to achieve this than Crete, the land of Buddha? You want to stay here for a long time among your friends.
I'm not responsible for the future. Today is enough unto itself. I love the people here. I see something of Zorba in everybody. But because I never make any plans for the future, I cannot say how long I'm going to stay here, but forever. I'm just a breeze that comes and goes without any fear.
While on this world tour, are you hoping in your heart of hearts to find a place to stay more or less permanently? Perhaps a place to establish another ashram or homeland?
In my heart of hearts, I have found a place. That is my place, my home. I'm not thinking to establish another commune. Communes will be established more and more around the world. I would love to be a visitor to my people around the world. I don't want to stay at one place. The few days that existence will allow me to will be my days of wandering around the world, among all my people.
Is your organization financially sound enough to establish a new ashram and commune?
In the first place, I don't want to establish any commune around me. In the second place, I'm sorry to say I don't understand anything about finance. I don't have any bank account. I have not touched even money for 30 years. I have been in America for 5 years. I have not seen the dollar bill. I live totally trusting existence. If it wants me to be, it will manage. If it does not want me to be here, it will not manage. My trust in existence is total. The people who don't trust in existence trust in money, trust in God, and trust in all kinds of idiotic things.
Bhagwan, do you feel your people around the world understand the truth of what happens here in the United States? Does anyone?
Except me, nobody understands it. For the simple reason because the United States has been so cunning so passive and forced me to do things I will give you one example. They arrested me without any warrant. They did not tell me why I am arrested. Their answer was the points of their gun. And whenever a government goes mentally bankrupt, this happens. Then they forced me into jail to sign under a false name, David Washington. I refused. The U.S. Marshal who was telling me to sign under a false name asked me why you are making fuss about it. You can sleep. I can go to sleep. It is midnight. I said, I don't care about you and your sleep. But I want to know what kind of justice is this. You arrest me and you want me to sign under David Washington's name? That means you never arrested me, because you have no warrant. And if I sign under David Washington's name, you can kill me, and there will be no proof, because I never entered the jail. I will simply disappear in the thin air. You write the name of David Washington, fill the form in your own handwriting, and I will sign. His heart, I am willing to sign David Washington. So he filled in his own handwriting, and I simply signed my own name. He said, what are you doing? I said, exactly what should be done. This is my name. And now you are caught. And tomorrow morning, in all the newspapers and the televisions and the radios, the news will be there. You cannot throw away this form. My signatures are known all over the world, and it is not easy to copy them. In the first place, it is difficult to understand them, what they are. And you have written everything in your own handwriting. You are the criminal. And the last thing they did, because they had nothing against me, before the trial, the government attorneys came to my attorney, which is a rare thing. Only the weaker party goes to the stronger party for negotiation. They came to negotiate the case before the trial began. And the negotiation they were proposing, I will tell you exactly how cunning it is. The negotiation was that if Bhagwan accepts on to a small ground that I am guilty, then he will allow him to leave the judge. He will allow the judge to release him. With only one condition, that he will not be able to enter America for 5 years. If you don't accept the terms and you want to fight the case, we know and you know that we don't have any case against him. Then we will not allow him to be bailed out, and the case can prolong for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. We know you will win the case, so we will prolong it as much as possible. And the whole pressure of the government is on it. It is a question of prestige. We don't want to be defeated by a single individual. My attorneys came with tears in their eyes. They were not sannyasins. They were the topmost attorneys in the United States. But in these 12 days while I was in jail, they were coming to see me, and by, something of love, something of respect had already happened, because they will come into jail and they will say that we cannot sit on the chair in front of you. It seems. Allow us to sit on the floor just the way you allow your sannyasins to sit. They came with tears and they said that they have proposed such a thing that we are in a dilemma. We know you are not guilty and we know you are not going to accept that you are guilty. But then they are not going to accept them at any cost. $10 million, $20 million. They say no, no cost is possible for him to take on them. And we are afraid that they will kill you, they will torture you, they will harass you. And they can continue it for years. Your whole movement will be suffering. Thousands of sannyasins will be suffering. We have seen there are many sannyasins who have not eaten anything since you have been in jail. So just think of those sannyasins, the people who love you, and accept on two minor points change the whole situation. Just for you, I have accepted that I am guilty. And the cunningness you see in the government, they had said that they will simply release me and keep me out of America for 5 years. But once I accepted the guilt, the judge immediately gave the fine of $400,000 and 5 years, no more entry into America. These $400,000 were not part of the negotiations. But the judge was not part of the negotiations either. Although you knew exactly on what point I am willing to accept, because there were 18 points, and only on those 2 points on which I had agreed with the attorneys, he asked, do you feel you are guilty or not? You must certainly be aware of the negotiation. And the people who were negotiating were aware that $400,000 will be the fine. All these liars, cunning people, no, my people yet do not know the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell them. That is one of the purpose of my world trip. So everybody becomes aware of the ugly face of American government. It is a fascist government. It tried to kill me. Afraid that if bail is granted, and they had no chances to win in the trial, they have put a bomb in the room where I was to come back from the jail, from the court, to take my clothes. But they missed a little bit. They had no idea at what time I will be coming. And it was a time bomb. The whole apartment was empty. Everybody knew something is going to happen. Even the person who brought me in said to me, you sit down and I will be coming soon with the signature of my boss. Then I can release you. And he locked the door from outside, and even he disappears. And from everybody's face, the person who brought me to the jail, the person who said that I am going to take the signature, I could see that there is some conspiracy behind it. But that's what I said, my trust in existence. They defeated their conspiracy. They could not manage to keep me there as long as they have put the time on the bomb. They had to release me. And immediately after my release, the bomb was found exactly under my chair. I'm going to tell everybody, not only of my people, but all the people, not only non-Americans, but Americans too, through the news media. That they are living under another fascist regime, under another Adolf Hitler, Ronald Reagan, who is millions times more powerful than the poor old Adolf Hitler. My whole effort will be to expose America completely. It is not against American people. I love them. They are beautiful. It is against the bureaucracy and the politicians. They have to be overthrown. They are the most dangerous people in the world today, because they have the greatest power and I don't think they have any brain. I'm reminded of a story. It must have been an American politician whose brain was being operated, brain surgery. They had took out his whole brain and they were working on it in the next room while he was silently sleeping. At that very moment a man came in the room and said, "What are you doing here? Have you heard it? Not, not. You have been chosen the president." He said, "My God, and I am lying down here." He stood up, went out of the hospital. When the surgeons came, they could not find him. He said, "What has happened?" Somebody told that he has been chosen president, but they said, "The brain is here." They phoned the president that, "Please come back and take your brain." He said, "As long as I'm president, I don't need it."
Bhagwan, how do you feel now, personally, after all the commotion that happened prior to your departure from the USA?
As far as I'm concerned, I simply feel great. Just as great as before the hard promotion, as great as I was in the promotion. There is no change in my inner consciousness. It is utterly silent and utterly rejoicing in every situation. Even the American jailers, after 12 days, had to accept to me that I am an old man and I am just going to be retired soon. But you are my first prisoner. Thousands of people had been into the prison. You are the only one who are getting out of the prison better looking, better. Healthier than you had entered 10 days before. What is the secret? I said, the secret is simple. I enjoyed the whole scene. It was a great loving scene. And all your efforts to harass me, they did not allow me to sleep for 24 hours, 12 days. They will put my two television sets. And the television sets will be going as loud as possible from the early morning till the midnight, continuously. And they had made arrangements that after the television sets will be silent, then inmates will start talking from one cell to another. Now, of course, this is talking from one cell to another cell, you have to talk very loudly. And this continues till the television sets will start again. I said it has been a great opportunity for me. I rested. And my rest is something that you cannot disturb. I am the center of the cyclone. And I am looking better. Because you have been refusing me vegetarian food. You have been telling that there is no special arrangement. You have to eat whatever is available. I have asked you can just give me milk and give me fruit. Are vegetables? You said no. Whatever is available and is given to every prisoner will be given to you. So I was not eating. And I saw that the prisoners were more human than the bureaucrats. Seeing the situation, they started bringing their meal. Their fruit. And they will tell Bhagwan, I know they are dancing. There are fruits, there are vegetables, there is milk. We are given everything. But we can eat meat, there is no problem. You can take. So I had lost 8 pounds of weight, which my personal physician, Dr. Devdas, was continuously wanting. That's why I am looking good. And a tremendous feeling in me has arisen that even if you throw me into hell, you had already done that. You cannot disturb my paradise. Wherever I am, my paradise will be with me. You can kill me, but you cannot kill my spirit.
Bhagwan, the following question is from the Swiss newspaper Sonntagsblick and the German magazine Tempo. The first question, German and Swiss media are very interested in your plans to travel throughout Europe. You said that if you are not committed to entering into Germany, you will circle around Germany like a satellite. Will that also include coming to Switzerland? And when will you come there?
Yes, it includes Switzerland. But I will not be circling around Switzerland. I will be coming inside Switzerland. I had many sannyasins there. And I have something that I would like to say, and that is the Alps Mountain. I love the Himalayas. They are something similar to it. Not that high, But this is the same deed. I'm going to come to Switzerland as soon as the Swiss government gather some courage against America. I had asked for a visa and they informed the ambassador here in Greece that keep cool. As if it is not cold enough. So once the ambassador gets a little warmer,
Pogrom, you have thousands of German sannyasins. Is this the reason why the German politicians seem jealous of you?
It is only one of the reasons. I have more sannyasins in Germany than in any other country. This certainly makes the German politicians afraid of me. But the greater fear is that these sannyasins had come to me either in India or in America. There are millions more younger and fresher minds in Germany. If I go to Germany, then the whole youth of Germany is going to be with me. One thing they understand, that as I have some kind of heart-to-heart relationship with the younger generation, I don't have any gap. The generation gap does not exist for me. They don't have any connection with their own youth. And they are afraid that if I come to Germany, then thousands of more German young people will be becoming sannyasis. And every nation has a certain characteristic which it has developed down the ages. When a German decides to be a sannyasin, you can trust him that he will remain a sannyasin until his last breath. You cannot hope that in California. In California, everything is special. Beatles come and they are all mad after them. And within years, nobody bothers about them. The German mind has a certain characteristic of decisiveness. If it decides to be with me, then there is no way for those politicians to prevent them. But they don't understand by creating the law against a man who has never been into Germany, who has never committed any crime against German law or against any law. I have not even applied for a permission to visit Germany, even before that. They make a law that I cannot enter Germany. I have found my own way. I will go around Germany. They can make a law against me not to go into Germany, but they cannot make a law against Germany not to come to me. And their law is going to help me many more who may not have thought about me had become curious that why a man who has never been here should be prevented without any reason and without any cause. And once I have taken the round of the Germany, then I am going to tell my German sannyasins to go to the coast. I am not a terrorist. I don't believe in violence. Go to the coast and drag the government into as many courts as possible. Put thousands of cases against it. And they have no way to win the case. Defeat them. And then I will come to celebrate their defeat. So now Germany has got into trouble by its own hands. Now it is going to become a national movement in Germany. First I will meet my German sannyasins. Then they have to fight it in the court. And then I will enter Germany. And I feel for the Germans certain affinity. They are capable of trust. They are capable to devote. Even if it is a question of dying for a cause, they will not be hesitating. The German youth made a retarded, mentally sick person, Adolf Hitler, one of the most important figures in the history. With me, they have an intellectual reference. With me, they have a love affair. And I am absolutely certain that not only the youth, but there are many older people in Germany who still have the mind of the young. I am going to make the whole Germany my commune.
Many young people in Germany and Switzerland and other European countries choose to look ugly. They dress up as punks and skinheads, shaving half of their hair and dyeing the rest in outrageous colours. They also prefer to wear rugged clothing. Can you please comment on this strange phenomenon?
It is not strange at all. It is a commentary on you. They are bored with your Western lifestyle. They are simply showing their resentment . They are saying that you have led society not towards truth, not towards tranquility, not towards godliness. You have led society towards death. The fools and the skinheads are simply reminders that you have failed. The Western civilization has come to its end. Literally, it is always the youth who is most vulnerable to what is coming. He is more perceptive. He can see that death is coming. That all Western scientists, Western politicians, Western churches are preparing a big graveyard for the whole humanity by their outrageous clothing. Rubber clothes, cutting their half the hair, They are simply indicating that it is still time to drop the line that you have been following up to now. Nothing like this has ever happened in the East. For the simple reason, because the East has been searching for something higher, higher than man. The Eastern genius is trying to reach to the stars, and the Western genius is simply preparing for death. These homes and these Eastern heads are just trying to say to you something. They are symbolic. They know you are deaf and you will not listen. Something has to be done drastic so that you start thinking what has gone wrong. Why our children are behaving in this way? What do you want? You are preparing for nuclear warfare. You are preparing for the death of the whole life on this earth. And those people are not a strange phenomena. You are a strange phenomena. They are simply revolting against you. And it will be good to listen to them. And it will be good to change the way the West has followed up to now, the way of materialism. I am not against materialism, but materialism alone can lead only to death, because matter is dead. I am absolutely in favor of materialism if it serves its spiritual needs. If materialism is a servant and not the master, then it is perfectly good. It can do miracles to help humanity, to raise in consciousness, in rejoicing, to raise humanity beyond humanity. You are proving Charles Darwin wrong, because monkeys were more intelligent than you, at least they went beyond themselves and created humanity. What you have created, go beyond yourself and create Buddha. Only then Charles Darwin will be true and the theory of evolution will be true. Man is simply stuff. And these youths are simply slaying youths. And they have to be outrageous, because you are not going to listen to logic, to reason, to intelligence. I'm all sympathy for those people. I would like to meet them. I will have immediate rapport with them, because I can understand their misery, their anguish. They may prove your savior. Don't laugh at them. Laugh at yourself. They are your children. You have produced them. You must take the responsibility. A father is known by his children, just as a tree is known by its fruit. If the fruit turn out to be poisonous, then are you going to condemn the fruit or condemn the tree? You are the tree. And so, insane-looking young people are the fruit. Somewhere you are responsible. They are a question mark on you. Think about them sympathetically. My own understanding is that West has come to an end. Unless a tremendous movement of spirituality is spread over the Western world, there is no way to save it. And that's what I'm trying to do. My sannyasins are also young. If they were not sannyasins, perhaps they would have been punks, they would have been eastern heads. But they have found a way to live on higher levels of being. They are also in revolt, but their revolt is not reaction. Their revolt is revolution. They are trying to live a life of peace, love, silence, light. But it is extreme. My sannyasins are being beaten, are thrown out of jobs, their communes are destroyed, and what you have been doing about punks and skinheads? You seem to be supportive unconsciously to them, because at least they are following the same line as you are on. And the sannyasins have dropped out of your heritage and your way of life. They have chosen a new way of life. Unless you understand that the West is in an urgent need of a new way of life, more and more outrageous reactions will be there around you, and you will be responsible for it.
During the 60s, sexual taboos within relationships were thrown overboard. During the 70s, marriages and long-term relationships dissolved and people chose to have several partners. Now, during the 80s, the German youth is complaining that their relationships are not working out at all. How do you see this development?
The reality is bitter. But it has to be understood. The reality is that marriage is an artificial institution. All relationships are artificial inventions of men. Love is a fleeting moment. Unless you reach to a different stage of love, where love is no more a relationship, but a state of being, but that has happened only to very few people in the whole history of men. Man comes from animals. To understand the situation, you will have to look at animals. They don't have any relationship. They don't have any marriage. Man still carries the heritage of that long past in his unconscious. He does not want to be married. He does not want to be got into a relationship, he simply wants to love. And he wants to love as many people as possible. And nothing is wrong in it. It is natural. A fully grown-up society will allow its people to love whomever they feel like loving, to live with someone as long as love lasts. After that, even for a single moment to be together is hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is boring, tiring. The only problem in the past was the children. That can be solved in a different way. For one thing, the world is already too much overpopulated. For 30 years, if no children are born, there will be no harm. In fact, it will be a great blessing. Secondly, now the pill is available. The pill is the greatest revolution in human history. Not the Russian Revolution, not the French Revolution. Those are just soap bubbles compared to the revolution that the pill has brought. Because the pill has made the woman equal to man. That was the only trouble, that the woman had to be pregnant, carry the child for 9 months in her womb, was unable to work, and men took advantage of this situation. He made her dependent. And he kept her continuously pregnant. Her whole life was nothing but a kind of child-producing factory. She was not allowed to be educated. She was not allowed to be financially free. She was not allowed to move in the society. She was imprisoned in the house with the children and the kitchen. For thousands of years, millions of women have died under men's inhumanity. And we have not even made a memorial in the name of the unknown woman who has suffered for so long. the pill makes the woman equal to men. Now there is no need for her to be pregnant. So first the pill will be helpful. People can move easily, change their partner as many times as they want. That will take off a great psychological tension and burden over their mind. What can you do if you see a beautiful woman? You would like to be with her, but your Zentipta is behind you. He will kill you. You cannot even look at the other beautiful woman. But he will come in your dream. And I don't see you can do anything if you see something beautiful. To enjoy, to play, to have some taste of that beauty, it is simply nature. People should change. They can have relatedness, but no relationship. It will be moment to moment. No lifelong affair. If it continues beautifully, nobody is trying to separate you. But if it has become boring, you have explored the woman and her beauty. She has explored you. Now both know each other's topography, geography and everything. Now again and again to read the same geography book. If people get bored and start throwing the book, and out of reaction, because you don't allow them, and they are not articulate enough to express their real desire, they become punks and they become skinheads, and they wear rubber clothes. And they do all kinds of stupid things, outrageous, just to wake you up that things are not going well. The pill has given tremendous freedom. And it's you decide to have a child, then choose you have to ask the medical board You have to go to the scientist. Whether it's child between you and your beloved will be healthy, talented, a genius, unless you have a permission from the community, you cannot produce a child. And simple arrangements can be made. Just as you have blood bank, you can have a sperm bank. You can demand to the medical profession that I want a child like Albert Einstein or Yehudi Menuhin or Pablo Picasso. And they can manage it through computers very easily to look for the right sperm. And the man's work in producing the child is not much. It can be done by just an injection syringe. You can go on making love as fun, as joy, as play. It is no more a burden on you and no more a biological enforcement on you. And the society slowly, slowly can choose the best kind of people to live on the earth. And if two persons separate who have a children, then the children should belong to the commune, to the community. They should not belong to the family, because families cannot exist anymore. In a shifting world of relationships, families cannot exist. But everybody has to contribute to the commune, because all the children are commune children. It does not matter who produced them. Perhaps the name of the father will never be known. There is no need. The name of the mother should be known. That's enough. For all legal paperwork, write your mother's name. You can see your father. You can see your mother. You can be with them. But children will be raised up by the commune. In commune, hostels, in commune schools, then the whole problem disappears and the children will be better, healthier, more talented, more self-confident, more self-respectful. And the children will not be Christian, and they will not be Hindu, and they will not be Mohammedan. They will be simply pure human beings. If in their later life they start searching for truth, they can choose any way they like. All ways are available for them. There is no need to enforce from the very beginning that you are a Mohammedan, that you are a Christian. It is ugly. It is fascist. Even for political voting, you give 21 years for a person to be mature enough. And for religion, you don't give even 21 days. The moment the child is born, he is immediately circumcised. He becomes a Jew. Without the consent of the child, without any understanding on the part of the child, if 21 years is needed for politics, perhaps 42 years will be right time when a person chooses the path for his spiritual development. That may be maturity enough. That will dissolve all unnecessary conflicts of religions, conversions. Colors, nations, and it will give immense freedom to every person to be natural. You are living in an unnatural way. The pressure is too much that if German youth is feeling that nothing is working, the German youth is right. Always listen to the younger people. They can see better because they are fresher. They can understand better because they are not burdened with the past so much as you are. And this will dissolve many things, for example, jealousy. If there is no family and no permanent bondage of relationship, jealousy has no reason to exist. People will be more friendly. And it is certainly more joyous to make love to a stranger than to a person you have been making love every day. Only idiots can go on making love to the same person the whole life. The more intelligent you are, the more you want some new adventures. And there is nothing wrong in it. It is your life. You have to decide about it.
Bhagwan, there is a proverb that German people wake up in the morning thinking of money. When they go to bed, they think of money too. However, Germany is the country with the best social security program. How does this fit together?
I don't think the proverb is right. It could be about Americans, not about Germans. The poor German has other things to suffer, other problems. But this is absolutely irrelevant. I can say certainly the American goes to sleep thinking of money and wakes up thinking of money. And he has more money than anybody else in the world. But this is a strange law that the more you have, the more you want. In India, we have a small store. King was very much puzzled because a man, a barber, used to come to massage him, to shave him every morning, and he was always happy. He had never seen him sad. He lived just opposite his palace. He used to get one gold coin every day, which was enough in those days to live for the whole month. So the poor man was living luxuriously. Every day one gold coin. And in the night he will play on his flute. And the king will hear the sound of flute. And his problem was that I have got everything. And this man gets only one coin every day. And he is so happy. And I am so tense, so worried. Where is the problem? He asked his prime minister, an old man. He said, you wait just 2 days. And he will know the reason. And the prime minister threw in the barber's house a bag full of 99 gold coins. Next day, the barber came, but he was not the same man. He was looking sad. The king said, what is the matter? Are you sick or something? He said, no, I'm not sick, but a great problem has arisen. Some stupid guy has thrown a bag in my house with 99 gold coins, and he has created problems in my life. The king said, but what is the problem? He said, the problem is that now my mind says, today save the coin. Don't eat. Don't waste it. At least make the bag complete. 100 coins. So today I am going to fast. And you will not hear my absolute tonight. And I am worried because that same mind is saying to me continuously that now you cannot go on living the way you were living. Once in a while you have to save 100, then 101, then 102, and where it will end. It has finished me. The more money you have, the more you want. The more power you have, the more you want. No, about Germans, that is not true. About Germans, something else is true. If you tell a joke to an Englishman, he laughs twice. First, he laughs just to be polite. And in the middle of the night, again he laughs when he gets it. If you tell the joke to a German, he laughs only once because everybody else is laughing. If you tell a joke to a Jew, he does not laugh at all. On the contrary, he said, shut up. This is an old joke. Moreover, you are telling it all wrong. That I can understand. But this proverb is certainly not true about Germany. Jokes they cannot understand. They are too serious people for that. They don't have a sense of humor. One of my old sannyasins, Haridas, is a German. He lived with me almost for 16 years. And still he asked others why people were laughing. I missed the joke. And the trouble with jokes is you cannot explain them. If you explain them, their whole point is lost. Either you get it or you don't get it. There is no explanation.
Bhagwan, why are the German people such workaholics?
It is better than to be alcoholic. They are healthy people. They love work. And work is a joy if you are healthy. Creative. It does not tire you. In fact, it nourishes you. Work only tires you if you don't want to do it. If you are lazy, then Germans will look workaholic. But in fact, the whole world should learn from Germans to be workaholic. Because it is work that can change the whole shape of things. Not lazy people. I am reminded of two lazy people lying down under the shade of a tree. It was a beautiful mango tree, and the mangoes were ripe. One mango fell by the side of one man, and he said to the other, "Can you put that mango into my mouth?" He said, "Not me. Where you were when the dog was pissing in my ear and you did not even shoo him away." Do you want these kind of people in the world? No, I am perfectly at ease with workaholics. They create and make the world beautiful. And the man is made in such a way by nature that at least he should work 8 hours. Only then he can sleep 8 hours peacefully. There is a balance. If you have not worked at all, you cannot sleep. Then in the morning you wake up more tired than when you have gone to the bed. But a man who works 8 hours totally, intentionally, need not be worried about sleep rest, relaxation. Need not be worried about thousands of things that are going on in the world. He need not go to the pub to drown his worries. He has none. If he works totally, then all his energies are purified. Work is a purification process. And it gives him a beautiful sleep, a dreamless sleep, and in the morning he is rejuvenated, back again to create something more. I would like the whole world to become workaholic.
Book one. Right now in Germany, there is a big scandal involving the German Chancellor, Helmut Kohl. Money was given by the industries to the leading German Conservative Party, and now the Chancellor finds himself in court for being suspected of having accepted donations. Being questioned in court, he says that he can't remember anything about what happened. Now the whole of Germany is making jokes about what they call the Helmut Kohl blackout. Please comment.
The German Chancellor should be sent to a mental asylum. Just so they can pick his loose bolts and nuts in the mind.
Book one. Why does humanity always need leaders? Why isn't it possible for so many human beings to just relax when they're together and to be aware, so that no leaders are necessary?
The leaders are absolutely unnecessary. But for thousands of years, they have created a situation in which they have become very necessary. For example, if you want to be religious, you have to go to the church. I don't see the point. You should go to the field. You should go to the trees. You should go to something close which is alive and existential. In the church, everything is dead. But just few days before, the Pope declared it a sin if you confess directly to God. You have to confess to the priest. The priest has to be the mediator between you and God. You cannot have a direct communication line with God. these people will not allow humanity to grow up. They keep humanity retarded. It always needs somebody to tell it what to do, what not to do. Otherwise, who are they to give us 10 commandments? In the First World War, for the first time, intelligence was measured, and the intelligence quotient, IQ, became one of the significant discoveries. But it was shocking to know that most of the people in the world are just 13 year old as far as their mind is concerned. They may be 70 years old physically, but mentally only 13 year old. For centuries, man has been kept retarded. Not directly, otherwise people would have revolted. Indirectly, just look at the biblical story. God says to Adam and Eve, don't eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge. This is preventing people from growing. This is the beginning of the slavery of man. It is a shame. If God is a father, the father would love his child to be wise, to be a man of knowledge. But God forbids him not to eat from two trees. One is the tree of knowledge, and the other is the tree of eternal life. It seems to me that devil is far more benevolent than the God who comes in the shape of a snake and persuades Eve to eat the fruit and says the truth. The truth is that God does not want you to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge and the tree of eternal life, because if you eat these two fruits, you will be just as God. And He is jealous. He does not want you to become God. He wants you to remain obedient, retarded child. His argument is absolutely valid. He is the first revolutionary. He is the first blessing to humanity. if devil had not persuaded Eve, perhaps we would have been still in the Garden of Eden, naked, eating grass. Whatever we have, the science, the technology, is because the devil persuaded Eve, and Eve persuaded Adam. All the religions in the world have been trying to keep people ignorant. For example, half of the humanity, the woman, has been deprived from any education. The woman cannot enter in many religious places. She cannot read religious scriptures. You will be surprised that all the religious scriptures are in languages which are dead. Hebrew is dead. Sanskrit has never been used by the people. It has never been a living language. It was used only by the priests. And they never allowed anybody else to learn the language. That creates a mystery. People feel they don't know. The priest knows. He knows nothing. Because when the Vedas were translated, it was found that almost 98% is just rubbish. The priests in India were against translating Vedas in any other language. And you can understand why. Because they knew what is written there is so stupid that there is no question of spirituality in it. Political leaders don't want people to be intelligent. Hence, educational systems have been created all around the world, which create clerks, postmasters, station masters, not revolutionaries. The whole education system around the world is geared in such a way that it does not increase your intelligence. It only fills your memory system. These are two different things. And you can see it. There have been people of great intelligence, like Albert Einstein. But He was not a man of memory. He will get into his bathroom and will tell his wife, "I am just coming in 10 minutes." And 6 hours have passed and the man is still in his bathtub. One of my friends, Dr. Ram Manohar Lohia, was visiting, so the wife was a little embarrassed. She said, "Forgive me, I have to interrupt him. This is too much. 10 minutes and 6 hours, and you have been waiting for 6 hours. He knocked on the door and Einstein said, "Has 10 minutes passed?" "Why you disturb me?" "I was playing with soap bubbles in my bathtub and he had discovered many great theories about stars in his bathtub playing with soap bubbles. Because that was the most relaxed moment. And when you are most relaxed, intelligence is at its peak. When there is too much memory, intelligence is suppressed. All our educational systems are systems of feeding you the way a computer is fed. All your examinations are not examinations of intelligence, they are examinations of your memory. How much you remember. People have been kept by religions and by politicians, by educationists, to remain childless. It helps to enslave them easily. It helps their vested interests. And they are always in need of leaders. They cannot go anywhere else. And nobody feels even offended when a man like Jesus says to the people that, "I am your shepherd and you are my sheep." Not a single person stands up and says that, "Please don't insult us." You are proclaiming yourself sheeple and you are reducing human beings into sheep. But not only at that time, for 2,000 years, Christian priests, bishops, cardinals, popes, have been repeating the same thing, that Jesus is your shepherd and you are his sheep. And nobody has guts to say that, "I am a man, I am not a sheep. And men don't need shepherds." There is absolutely no need of leaders in any field. But for that we will have to change the whole educational system, the whole religious indoctrination, the whole political structure. Right now, politics is the only profession where no qualification is needed. Any idiot who is stubborn enough has no sense of shame, has no sense what he is saying. He cannot fulfill it. Can lie very easily. Is an hypocrite. Is pussy enough. Will become a politician. Will be on a high post. And no one man in India became educational minister of the central government. And he himself was absolutely uneducated. All his education was that he could sign his name. In any profession, some qualification is needed. If we want to change the world and we want people to be free from the burden of the leaders, that simply means we will have to change everything from the very scratch. I am in favor of meritocracy. A man who is himself uneducated becomes education minister of a country is simply hilarious. India has more than 100 universities. Vice chancellors. Hundreds of greatest scholars and experts. Educationists, only they should be allowed to stand for a post which is going to be Ministry for Education. I have seen ministers who know nothing of economics. And they are finance ministers. These people will not like the general masses to be intelligent enough to see what is going on behind the curtain, how they are being exploited, cheated. I absolutely agree, there is no need of any leader. I am not a leader. I am not a master. Nobody is my disciple. I am not a seeker. And nobody is a sheep to me. My sannyasins are my friends, my fellow travelers. I respect them as much as they respect me. I love them more than they love me. And I don't see any difference. They are potentially everything that is possible to a human being. Just their potential has not been used. This is for the first time in the world that anybody is saying that my people are my friends. And I am not obliging my sannyasins. They are obliging me by accepting me as their friend. They have every right to reject me.
Bhagwan, yesterday you explained the real Holy Trinity as being truth, beauty, and good. Why is love not included?
Love is included. It is part of beauty. That's why it has not been named separately. It is the eyes of love that discover beauty. It is the beauty that provokes love in you. They are one phenomena.
Bhagwan, do you see a similarity between the German Chancellor, Helmut Kohl, and Ronald Reagan?
No two persons are similar. It is against the law of nature. Nature produces only unique individuals. Ronald Reagan is Ronald Reagan. The German Chancellor is German tongue. There is no similarity. Only one connection I can see. The German Chancellor is just a puppet of Ronald Reagan.
You said the United States has the greatest fascism. What about Germany?
I have just said that the German Chancellor is a puppet of Ronald Reagan. And the German government is following on the lines of the American government. It is fascist. But because of the Second World War and Adolf Hitler, the word fascism or Nazism has become so condemned that the German government has to wear masks in the same way as American government is doing. It has to pretend to be democratic. In fact, it is very difficult for any government to be democratic. For the simple reason, because power corrupts. An absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Bhagwan, the Germans are well known for their love of travelling around and making plans. They also talk a lot about how they would rather live their lives, but they never realise their plans. Can you please comment on this?
It is true about everybody, not only about Germany. Everybody is dreaming, planning, and wasting the moment in which he could have lived. Many of the people realize that they were alive only when they died. But now it is too late. So don't condemn unnecessarily German. It is a human phenomenon all over the world the same. Everybody is planning for the next year. Even there are people in the East who are planning for the next life. But nobody is worried about this moment, which is the only reality. If you want to live, live now and here. If you don't want to live, you can go on creating as many dreams and fantasies as possible. All fantasies, all dreams, all projections for the future are nothing but a suicide.
myself once, how is it possible to be impulsive and have feelings like anger, sadness, or jealousy without hurting other people and without suppressing these feelings?
The West is absolutely unknown of a sign called meditation. Hence, this kind of problems arise. These are not real problems, these are only symptoms. These are symptoms of a non-meditative mind. If you can meditate, if you can create a little distance between your mind and your being, if you can see and feel and experience that you are not your mind, a tremendous revolution happens within you. If you are not your mind, then you cannot be your jealous, then you cannot be your sadness, then you cannot be your anger. Then they are just there, unrelated to you. You don't give any energy to them. They are really parasites who have been living on your blood, because you were identified with the mind. Meditation means disidentification with the mind. And it is a small method, not something complex that only few people can do. Just sit silently at any time, any moment, and watch. Close your eyes and watch what is going on. Just be a watcher, don't judge what is good, what is bad, this should not be, this should be. No judgment. You are simply a watcher. It takes a little time to attain to pure watchfulness. And the moment you are a pure watcher, you will be surprised that the mind has disappeared. There is a proportion. If you are only 1% a watcher, then 99% is mind. If you are 10% a watcher, then 90% is mind. If you are 90% a watcher, then only 10% of the mind is left. If you are 100% a watcher, then there is no mind. No sadness, no anger, no jealousy. Just a clarity, a silence, a benediction.
In an interview you gave last year, you said that your comments are the proof of your teaching. Is this still valid? Or have you got anything new to say, in spite of the fact that the commune in Oregon closed down, and many changes are happening in the European commune?
It's still valid. But that does not mean that no changes will be happening. In fact, changes happen only when something is valid. Unreal things don't change. Only real things change. A plastic flower remains always the same, but the real rose changes. Whatever I have said about the commune is true. It's still true. And the changes that are happening are making the commune wider, bigger, more open, my effort now is that the commune should not be open only to the sannyasins. It should be open to anybody who has a rapport with me. He may not be a sannyasi. Who has a feeling for me, he may not be a sannyasi. My effort is not to create an alternate society. My effort is to change the whole society. In a vast world commune, many more changes will be happening. Many more doors will be opened. Slowly, slowly, I can take the whole world in. I don't want anybody to be miserable and left out in the cold. While my commune is so warm, so alive, so rejoicing, I don't want anybody to miss this opportunity.
Bhagwan, the other day you said that you are a mirror. What can you see when you look at yourself in your bathroom mirror in the morning? The last question. Jai Krishnamurti died last Monday in OJ, California. In the past, you have spoken of him as another enlightened being. Would you please comment on his death?
The death of an enlightened being like Jai Krishnamurti is nothing to be said about. It is something to be celebrated with songs and dances. It is a moment of rejoicing. Because his death is not a death. He knows his immortality. His death is only the death of the body. Jai Krishnamurti will go on living in the universal consciousness forever and forever. Thank you.